stars are born, they possess a gift or two. One of them is this. They have the power to make Main Street Mekkies come true. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Main Street Mekkies, the show where two real-life engineers and hopeful Imagineers talk about all things Disney. I am your... I didn't actually come up with a name this week, I just realized, but I am your one and only host this week, Alex. As we talked about last week, this would be kind of a weird one, as I'm just going to be talking into the void and doing the second part of my trip recap alone, because Noah is in Disney World right now as we speak. He landed yesterday. Him and I have been texting. They've been having an awesome trip so far. You can actually see some updates from that trip on his individual creator Instagram, the Dear Imagineer on Instagram. So shout out to that and definitely go follow that. But it's going to be a little odd, just me here, probably a little shorter, and I'm just going to talk about the rest of the trip, and then also talk about our Patreon, which just actually went public today with its first tier and post and file and all that kind of stuff, so I'll talk about that at the end. But first, just a few plugs. If you like the show and would like to let us know that you like the show, the best way to do that is to give a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. One thing did happen while I was on the trip that I forgot to shout out. Somebody did give us a 5-star review on Spotify. That number ticked up, so whoever did that, thank you so much for doing that. We don't know who you are, and we don't get any text about it, but still, I want to say thank you. If you want there to be text or to tell people why you love the show, make sure to do that on Apple Podcasts. You can leave a text with it, and then we will read it out on the show in a voice of your choosing, or I believe right now it's a voice of Noah's choosing. I can't remember if we fully removed that, but either way, we will read it out. We'll shout you out on the show. So if you have a Disney side hustle or a podcast or something like that, make sure to mention that in there so that we can shout you out and also check you out ourselves and add you to the repertoire of Disney creator stuff that we absorb on a daily, if not bi-hourly basis. If you are wanting to represent the show and you would like some merch, some Main Street Mekkies merch, you can find that at Redbubble, Main Street Mekkies on redbubble.com. So just search Main Street Mekkies at redbubble.com. We have a shirt that is just our podcast logo. We have two hats. We have some stickers that show the logos for the rides that we've come up with over the course of the show. And yeah, so that's what's over there if you'd like to represent the show and kind of support in that way. And then the final thing, other than the Patreon, which I'll talk about later, the final thing is if you're looking to book a Disney vacation, I am a registered Disney travel agent, which means I can help you book Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruises, International, Disney Parks, anything from your resort all the way down to your dining, special tickets, anything like that. And the best part is it's completely free. It doesn't come at any cost to you, the guest. All it is an extra pair of hands that would cost the same as if you did it all yourself, except you're not waking up at 7 a.m. Florida time. You're not putting your computer into those lines for those queues for those really special tickets that sell out near instantly. You're not doing any of that annoying stuff. You're just letting me take care of it. And if you would like that, for that, if you would like that and would like a little bit of help with your vacation, you can send a message at, it's called Mekkies Travel on Instagram. And then it's also Mekkies Travel.squarespace.com is the website where you can submit a request for me to see it and start planning your trip. And that will give me your contact information and we can start working on the trip. I apologize for messing up the URL there. Still a little new to it and talking alone, so a little odd. So that URL again is Mekkies Travel.squarespace.com. That'll take you directly to the website and get you started on planning your vacation. All right, so we're going to wrap up the trip is what we're going to do. So I'm going to talk today about Magic Kingdom, Animal Kingdom, and Hollywood Studios. And so I think I'll probably go in that order. And so we will start with Magic Kingdom. So last part of the trip recap, we talked about Run Disney and Animal Kingdom Lodge and Epcot. Still flabbergasted with Epcot, so excited for it. And I saw videos today of the Communicore lights going off, and you could see over the walls there some of the stage and things like that. The area is going to be extremely cool once it opens up. But the other park that had, honestly, like a lot of new stuff, not a lot of new stuff, but some new stuff, like a new attraction and everything, was Magic Kingdom. And so it actually worked out really well when we flew in. Magic Kingdom had extra magic hours. And so we did not partake. Me, my wife, and my son did not partake because my son isn't even two yet, so he's not staying up for deluxe hours. But my parents and my brother got to go after we were done at Epcot. They got to go over to Magic Kingdom, and they rode Tron, and I think they just like barely missed the fireworks, but they got to do Tron and Haunted Mansion and I think a couple other rides in those deluxe hours. And that was the day we flew in, so we hadn't even hit our full park day yet. But overview of Magic Kingdom, I could kind of tell it. Grayson obviously wasn't more familiar with it. My son wasn't more familiar with it, but it's very similar to Disneyland. So we knew a little bit more of what to expect that he'd like and not like, and what we would do and wouldn't do. We spent two full days in Magic Kingdom, and both of those days, one day we ate at a new restaurant. We ate at Skipper Canteen. We'd never eaten there before. Fantastic food. Absolutely loved it. And that is actually now on our list to hit pretty much every trip. Magic Kingdom is definitely not our favorite food place. And I think it's just the style of the food they do is very much more theme park like food. And so it's a lot more burgers and tater tots and french fries and chicken tenders, which is great. It's hard to go wrong with it. But when you're wanting to do a sit-down restaurant or something like that, it has to be a real good burger for me to want to pay sit-down prices to eat a burger. And so typically what we would do with Magic Kingdom is that's when we would dip off and go eat at a resort or eat in Disney Springs. But this time, it was the day before the race, our first Magic Kingdom day, so we decided to stay in the park and go with Skipper Canteen because it had a lot of like rice bowls and not super heavy food that we were going to regret the next day. And we were extremely surprised. It was, one, it was super cool in there. It was kind of like a TARDIS Mary Poppins bag kind of situation where it doesn't look like it would be that big, and then you walk in and it's massive. And so that was really cool to see. And then the food got there and it was absolutely delicious. We got like the hummus or the falafel appetizer and I think the cheese bread, if I'm remembering correctly, and both were great. Everybody's entrees were awesome. My wife got the chicken, I got the steak. Grayson also got the chicken and absolutely loved it. And my brother, I think, ended up getting a curry plate, which he really loves curry. But the coolest thing about the restaurant was it had a ton of Society of Explorers and Adventurers lore in it, because it's run by the owner of the Jungle Cruise, and the Jungle Cruise owner is in the SEA, and it was pretty obvious it was like a meeting place for the SEA, whether it was toward the beginning of the SEA or towards the end. I wasn't 100% certain, but there was actual SEA member hats sitting in a display case right over like into the entryway into one of the dining room areas. And then next to that display case was a ton of like weird books and stuff like that, which were really fun to walk around and look at. So huge two thumbs up to Skipper Canteen. Definitely would recommend if you haven't gone. I know that's kind of like recommending ice cream. I know a ton of people already know about this place and love it. But we didn't, and it was really nice. So if you haven't, or if you're on the fence about it, or if you're like us and don't really like eating at Magic Kingdom, that's a good place to hit. Definitely a good place to hit. I'd hit it more than once in a trip if that was the option we were looking at. So that was kind of like the big food highlight. We also did do the spring rolls, the spring roll cart. Also fantastic, even though it shouldn't be. They're really good. Hamburger and
pizza spring rolls. They sound weird, but they are very tasty. So that was kind of the big food highlight in Magic Kingdom. But as far as the ride, I mean, the huge ride highlight goes obviously to Tron. So we got to ride Tron after everybody else did. So my parents and my brother, they got fast passes to Tron while we were in the airport in Portland. We weren't even on the shuttle yet from our hotel to get to the airport. I think we were still in the lobby of the hotel. And so we hadn't even, it was like 4 a.m. or 3 a.m. and a Lightning Lane was already bought for the night. And so they were ready to go once we landed. And so they got to ride it at night for the first time. And it was also Nathan, my brother's, first ride in Disney since I was like in high school, if not middle school. And so this was kind of his reintroduction into Disney rides and his kind of reintroduction to Disney, period, was hitting this ride. And when we saw him the next morning, asked him how it was, he was just like beaming, talking about how cool it was and how insane it was. And we had gotten virtual queue already, or not when we asked him, but he was super excited for us to see it. And so we got virtual queue the morning that we were going. The day before the race, our first day in Magic Kingdom, ended up working out really well. We did a rider swap so that Mom and Dad watched Grayson, and then they just swapped in with us right afterwards. We went over to like the Toontown Circus area and just let Grayson play over there while they did it, and. That ride's incredible. Like, I will say, the one complaint I always hear about it is very short, and I will say it is a quick ride. It is a very quick ride. I think once the virtual queue, that the shortness will be helpful as time goes on. I know that's a weird thing to say, but right now it's extremely new, and so it's extremely new, which means it's a super long wait, and it's short, and it's a $20 Lightning Lane. And so all of those together mean that people are usually like waiting for a while, or they're paying a chunk of money, or they're having to put in extra effort to get into it, and then it's a short ride. And so those almost make it feel shorter, at least from my point of view. But when we rode it, the first time we rode it, we got extremely lucky. We got front row to Tron the first time we rode it. Unfortunately, it was daytime, so not like peak optimal condition, but it was full front row. And I will say, when you are the front car of that ride, it does not feel short because your eyelids are being blown back. I mean, you are the front of the air, of breaking the air current to everybody behind you, because you're just face forward in these ride vehicles, and it just feels so intense as you're getting launched off, especially when you're outside. And so it was so cool. We hadn't ridden Guardians yet, and so that was our first kind of hit on these new attractions that neither myself nor my wife had ridden yet, and I hadn't looked up any videos or anything for it. And so just having this kind of be the introduction one was really cool. The aesthetic they nailed, that Tron look and feel. My brother is a huge fan of the movies, and so he was over the moon about the aesthetic and the music. It's all done extremely well. And then later in the trip, we got to ride it at night, and it really does make a difference riding at night. It is two different rides. Both are spectacular. I wouldn't say don't ride it in the day, but if you can only ride it once, taking that extra time and riding it at night is 1000% worth it, because you just see so much more of the aesthetic and effects that they tried to do with it. And the dome lights up, and there's activating hexagons that go as you run by it, and you kind of like get brought into the world immediately as you walk up to the queue, rather than having to get into the queue. And then the final big thing is that launch. You're not looking out into bright sky as you would be during the day. You're looking out into darkness with the hue of the blue from the dome and the flashes of the hexagons and stuff like that that are lighting up. So it's just a much better immersive experience at night, on top of just being a fantastic ride to begin with. I did really like how they actually ran the coaster by screens and stuff like that. We had talked about doing that for some of our concepts. I think it was the like Sunrise Escape or the thing we did to replace Rock and Roller Coaster. Noah and I talked about doing screens next to roller coasters, and obviously Disney had done those before. I'd never seen it in person of how well it could work. And it worked surprisingly well. I mean, it was very short clips. Not much detail could be seen. It wasn't like Guardians or anything like that where you're rotating. But the it was surprising to see screens actually work and have an impact on the experience. The one thing that I didn't like is that because screens can only be a certain size, but your eyes are being guided towards it, I did find myself every now and then like looking at the edges of it, which was a little breaking. Not obviously a huge issue, just more kind of a downside to using screens in roller coasters is you can only have them so tall. And so when you're looking at them from far enough away that you can actually see a scene, you're also seeing the edge of the screen. And so it's just like a little break that if they could figure that out would be fantastic. But as it is now, it works really well. And I'm trying to think of anything else I want to say about Tron. It is a great ride. Those ride vehicles are by far my favorite ride vehicles on property. They are so smartly designed, and how you get into them is just very well done. The entire entrance onto the ride itself, they have a little diagram that shows you exactly what route you need to go to get onto your bike. It's pretty intuitive, I would say. Like, once you get on the bike, where you would naturally want to pull things is the direction they go. And they're just cool. They're just really cool. I don't know what else to say about them past that. They feel really cool to ride. And they... Yeah, I don't want to leave too many big silences in here. This is kind of one of the downsides of it only being me. But it is a very neat ride vehicle, and I hope that they do experimental ride vehicles like that in the future. Front-facing ride vehicles, especially. That locking system is really good. I will say, if you are concerned about how comfortable that will be for you, for various reasons, I saw a lot of people kind of get into it. And they fit perfectly fine and all that kind of stuff, but it's not a normal seated position. And so if for any reason you have a medical condition or something like that where you're a little stressed about that, definitely check out the test vehicle up front. They do have normal coaster seats in the back. And so if that's something you need, that's an option. And it's worth it to ride the ride. But if you're not worried about it or you're willing to deal with it, they are really cool. And they are at least worth checking out the test one so you can see like how they work just from like a mechanical standpoint. Just to appreciate that, because they're very smartly made and operate really cool mechanically. And so that was Tron. We unfortunately didn't see the fireworks at Magic Kingdom. There was one point where we were still there when the fireworks were going, and Grayson was still in the park as well. My parents took Grayson so that Miranda and I could go ride. We rode Seven Dwarves, and so we actually got to see some of the fireworks on Seven Dwarves, which was actually really cool. And then we booked it back. They were just hanging around Main Street. He was inside a shop looking at pins and trying to get my dad to buy him stuff, so he was happy as a clam, thankfully. So we just kind of like waited out the fireworks, and then once they were done, we booked it out and got back to the hotel. I think that's as far as just solo talking about it. That's all I'm gonna say right now about Magic Kingdom. I mean, it's always great. Magic Kingdom is always incredible. It's my wife has a sentiment in it, and I kind of agree with her. It doesn't fully feel like a Disney trip until you see the castle. And I have a couple pictures of my wife and my son walking towards Main Street and walking or along Main Street towards the castle, both during the day and at night. And that was a big thing for me to see them walking towards and to kind of round the corner and hear my son go, "Wow," as he looks at the castle. And you really can't beat that. The other parks are all so amazing, but Magic Kingdom is really where you see the slap in your face Disney just really hit you. And it's hard to beat that. And so I'm sure I'll talk more about stuff we did when Noah gets back and there's a little bit more back and forth, but I think that's all I'm going to talk about for just solo talking about it. So I think we will move on to Animal Kingdom. And I think Animal Kingdom is really where Animal Kingdom is not a mixed bag as far as how much we love it, but it's a mixed bag as far as how much of a day you end up having at Animal Kingdom. So we ended up doing kind of a short day and a longer day, which was kind of funny because I think the day we thought each one would be was flipped. And so our first day was when my brother was still with us, and our big goals of that day were to hit Everest, Flight of Passage, and then my brother and my parents had a Yeti and Yak that they wanted to hit, and we really wanted to hit Satali Canteen, because that is by far, counter service wise, Miranda and I's favorite dining on property is Satali Canteen. And I will just say up front, still does not disappoint, still the best dining, I would say best counter service, both in uniqueness and in food quality. We had the chimichurri beef this time, which we usually did the chicken, because it was really good the first time we had it, and the chimichurri beef was amazing. I will probably never do anything different. The dressings they put on everything is still really good, and the desserts are fantastic. It just doesn't disappoint, and it's such a nice break from kind of more fried foods that you end up having, and the not as good for you foods that you end up having at Disney. And this, it's a very nice place to kind of step away from that and just get a rice bowl or a noodle bowl or something like that. So food aside, this was also my brother's first time seeing Pandora. And so that was kind of, we knew that was going to be a little bit of a shock of just how much work they put into it. And so the first day we went, the first thing that we ended up doing was the safari, which Grayson liked. It was still early in the morning. He's a hard kid to read. And so it's always interesting to see what he's going to glob onto. And right now at his age, the thing he's most excited to do is run down a hallway at full speed, regardless of where it is. And so we didn't know how well sitting down in a safari van would go, but I ended up going really well. He only looked outside the left side of the van, regardless of how much we tried to get him to. And whenever there weren't animals for him to look at, he tried to put stickers on my dad's jacket without him noticing. And so it ended up working out really good. He saw a lot of zebras, pointed at the giraffes, loved the elephants. And so after that, we ended up getting him some binoculars. And later on the trip, we got him a safari hat, which he hated when we bought it, but now he loves it for some reason. I'm sure other people with kids can understand how that fluctuation occurs often. But safari was a big hit. He loved the animals. And then after that, we moved our way into Pandora and rode Flight of Passage. First time my brother's ridden Flight of Passage, and first time I've ridden Flight of Passage in a couple years. And the last time I read Fly Passage, there were a couple reports about the screen being fuzzy, which I thought, I didn't see it when I wrote it, and so I kind of blew them off and stuff like that. I will give it, there were a few points where the screen got pretty fuzzy. Now, it makes sense. The ride is surprisingly getting old. I mean, it's not old, obviously, but it's screen tech and perspective tech that's being used from, can't remember exactly when it opened, but I know I was in like beginning of college. And so it's been a few years. You can definitely tell that the ride has gone through the ringer, and that it might be time to shut it down for a little bit and recalibrate some of the tech, or maybe replace it with some new stuff. But thankfully, screen being fuzzy like one or two times was the only thing that happened. Everybody's ride vehicles worked correctly. It felt like the Banshee was breathing, which I made sure to mention to Nathan, and he noticed it and thought it was just the coolest thing ever. And that the whole, unfortunately, we had to do Fast Pass or Lightning Lane because my parents were waiting with Grayson, obviously. And so we rode the three of us. My parents took Grayson, and then we swapped. And we had to do that because we didn't want them to be waiting too long. So we missed a chunk of the queue. But, like, we still got to see, like, some of the inside of the tree and just how much detail they put into the queue. And that land still baffles me every time that I see it. I mean, there's so much care and effort went into representing Pandora. And regardless of what you think about the plot of the movies or the subject matter themselves, the visual and world building that the Avatar movies has is really just incredible, and is a world that is so hard to not want to just get lost in. And Pandora does a really good job of that, of just kind of letting you just dive right in and lose yourself in that world. And so that was right, and that was was definitely agreed on with Nathan. I think he, obviously, I feel bad putting words in his mouth, but he's not here. I think he will end up listening to that. So Nathan, send me a text if you disagree with any of these. But as far as like immersiveness and stuff like that, that and the Star Wars world are very close. But I mean, Galaxy's Edge, I would even say, still knocks it on its rear as just in sheer scope and detail. But so we hit Pandora. I hit Pandora a few times. Unfortunately, didn't hit it at night. Animal Kingdom closed relatively early, and the way that we just kind of treated it was we did the things we wanted to. We rolled through it, stayed as long as we wanted. Both days were pretty hot when we went. Kind of used Grayson as a judge, and then when we needed to, that was a good day to go back and rest a little bit. Let him nap in the room and kind of refresh himself rather than nap out in the parks or in a stroller. And so I think the other thing, we did some of the trails. Grayson really liked trails. Cali River Rapids threw me for a loop. I definitely had gotten it mixed up with Grizzly Rapids. So a lot shorter than Grizzly Rapids. I kind of forgot about that, but it is, it's shorter. There's one less drop. And so we stopped a little bit before the drop, and my dad's saying, they're like, this is it. Like, this is the big drop. I'm like, no, it's not. There's one more after this. This is the smaller of the two. He went, no, this is the big one. And he thought I was messing with him, and I thought he was messing with me. And it wasn't until we got all, like, we literally docked up to leave the ride that I went, wait, oh, that was the big one. Yeah, so I looked like a moron to half the rest of the cart, which my dad thought was quite funny. We rode Everest, still fantastic ride. Still cranks through people like no tomorrow. It's honestly quite impressive how low Everest is able to keep the wait times, even when it's crazy busy. My wife, it's still, I think, her top ride. I think Guardians makes a very hard argument to push past it. I do believe Everest is above Tron. And funny enough, I think the other highlight of Animal Kingdom ended up being the Rafiki's Planet Watch. So it's not something that we typically do often. It's definitely not something that I think it was not new for my parents, but something they haven't done in years. And the last time Miranda and I did it, we just wanted to see what was over there, and then we kind of turned around and left. But they have a petting zoo over there, and so we immediately were like, okay, when we take Grayson, like, we gotta go over to the petting zoo so he can pet the animals, which is not something we've ever taken him to. And so we went over there. I think we were over there for about an hour, and he was running around and screeching and petting goats, and he didn't end up petting any pigs, but there were some pigs he could pet, and trying to touch the cow that didn't want to go near the fence. He didn't try to ride any goats, thank the Lord. And it was very, we found it actually funny. He was more gentle with the goats than he was with our dog that we have at home. But he absolutely loved the petting zoo, and was just running around yelling goat over and over and over again, and taking brushes and brushing the goats, and then playing in the dirt and being a boy and all that stuff. I think it's, if I were to give a little bit of not advice, but just a learned thing that we had with him while we were on the trip, is it's 1,000% worth it to take your kid to Disney and Disney World. I mean, the development that we saw during while he was there and afterwards is just insane, the amount of new things that he has picked up and experienced and all that kind of stuff. I would do it again in a heartbeat. If we could, we'd be on a plane tomorrow. But I think the things that we thought he'd be into ended up not being the things he was into. And the things that he enjoyed the most were the things that sometimes I think people go, well, I'm in Disney, I don't want to just sit here and do that. Because it's stuff you can, quote-unquote, do at home. Like, they have petting zoos around our house, that not directly around our house, but like we could go to the Oregon Zoo and they have a petting zoo section. It's like there's ways we could do that and not go to Disney, or there's playgrounds that aren't at Disney that he can go to and things like that. But I think the Disney of it all is the trip, and then the things you do in it are the things you do. But you're still in Disney, and it's still a Disney trip, even though it's something you can do at home, if that makes sense. And so I think if I were to do it again, I would have done more of those things, because that definitely was, or I would have done them earlier, because we didn't think to go to them. And then we took him to them, like, partway through the trip, and he just loved it. He loved sprinting around the playground in Epcot. He loved going to the petting zoo in Animal Kingdom. He surprisingly didn't like the splash pads, but we tried. But that's the stuff he loved doing, and I think was like the quote unquote highlight of Grayson's trip, was just running around and playing, and we were in a Disney park. And so don't, I think that this is all culminating into like the little bit of thing I wish I would have thought to do, which is to not focus on the doing the quote unquote Disney things, but to just quote unquote do what they enjoy in Disney. And so I think we would have done more of the like, gone to the affection section the first day, which is, okay, that's the name of the petting zoo, by the way, for anybody that just chuckled a little bit. So we would have gone to the petting zoo the first day, and we would have done all that so that we could have done it twice. So just, it's all kid to kid. Some kids, even at his age, they want to ride rides, and he just didn't care. He didn't care too much about the rides. Loved Jungle Cruise, the Safari. I missed this in the Magic Kingdom day. He did ride People Mover, which was one of my big ones that I wanted him to ride, and he loved People Mover. You could definitely tell he liked People Mover, and was surprisingly okay with all the, like, pitch back pitch black parts, which is really cool. But I think People Mover ended up being like his favorite ride, if not like the bus ride or the monorail was his favorite ride. And so that's kind of the funniest thing about it was we went to Disney. We went on rides with him. He did Dumbo. He did teacups, did all those. But I think his favorite ended up being People Mover or the monorail. And so just, yeah, that's a long-winded way of saying they might not enjoy the things you thought they would, but they will still enjoy something, and just focus on you're in Disney to do it. So anyways, I tried to think of anything else with Animal Kingdom. As always, the park is just so cool to walk through. It's still just my favorite park to just piddle around and enjoy. It was very nice every now and then just finding a spot and sitting with Grayson while he was napping, or just taking him to look at the different animals, walking through the foliage, any number of things that you can just see over there. It's always so incredible. They did such a good job with that park. I mean, Rhodey is an absolute legend with what he did in that park, and should be kind of the pinnacle of what they look at when they want to look at immersive and theming. Animal really knocks out of the park. And so I think it's time to hit up Hollywood. And so this will be the last little bit of the trip recap. Like Noah and I said, we'll probably talk a little bit about the trip next week when we're comparing notes and all that kind of stuff. But this will be the bulk of it. For the most part for Hollywood, I'll be honest, we pretty much just did Galaxy's Edge in Hollywood. Hollywood we only hit for a total of a full day. I know that probably hurts for a lot of people to hear. That's a lot of people's favorite parks when it comes to the rides and things like that. But with Gray, it's not a park he can do much in. There's a lot less, at least from our perspective. For if people disagree, I would love some input on what to take him to, because Hollywood honestly just kind of seems like the park where we have the most trouble finding him things to do that he would enjoy. And it's a lot more, its layout ends up being a lot more cramped, in my opinion. And so we didn't hit it up often, but we did hit it on my brother's last day, which is one of my, I've told him this and he brushes it off, but it's one of my regrets that we did not do it more, because what I had forgotten was how much of a Star Wars person Nathan was when he was a kid. Because he grew up when the prequels came out. So my brother and my dad were talking, they both have this vivid memory of going and seeing Phantom Menace when it came out in theaters. And when I was a kid, like, pretty much they had already come out. And so it was, by that point, like, I had missed the train for the most part. And so Nathan was the one who was he did the Jedi training. Like, that was huge when we used to go when we were kids. Did the Jedi training, and we have this story of him getting to, they end up running out of time when he was fighting, when he was going against Darth Vader. I think my dad told this story on our episode. And so they ended up pulling him offside, and he got to fight Darth Vader individually. And we would always do the Star Wars weekends, and Nathan was always super into him. Even now, he plays all the Star Wars games and kind of generally keeps up with it. I don't think necessarily with the shows and stuff like that, but that world is a world he's always really loved, and I think holds a special place in his heart. And so when we got to Hollywood Studios, we kind of dipped off to get coffee, and Grace and I dipped off to go get a donut. And then we all met back up in Galaxy's Edge we had my dad, myself, and my brother had reservations at Oga's. And then we were going to ride Rise of the Resistance. And so we all end up going to meet at Oga's, and Nathan and my mom and dad went a little bit ahead, and he just walked around. Just, they said, like, his mouth was agape and just looking up at everything. And I think for somebody that was really into Star Wars, I mean, even for me, who's just kind of who has a good relationship with Star Wars and enjoys the universe, It's insane how detailed and incredible it is. But for somebody who's a fan who follows it a little bit more, I mean, you see countless videos of it where it is just so shocking about how on point they got that place and how incredible Galaxy's Edge really is. And so Nathan just had a smile on his face the whole day, and we pretty much spent like the whole time in Galaxy's Edge. We like dipped out to eat at Woody's Lunchbox, and then did like, I think Smuggler's Run is how we ended the day. But we spent pretty much the whole time that he still had. He had to leave early for a flight, so we spent the whole time that he had pretty much in Galaxy's Edge. Ate at Oga's, and he got to walk around, and we had our drinks, and it was like just felt like you were in a cantina, and the drinks were fantastic. Appetizer was fantastic. That's going to end up being one of our triply traditions, if all three of us are there, is to kind of do a father son, and then eventually father son and father son once Grayson's old enough to do a little trip into Oga's for that. And so that was extremely cool. And Rise of the Resistance, we told him nothing before he wrote it. He had absolutely no information. And when the gates open up and you see the stormtroopers and stuff like that, I mean, just eyes open and just kind of looking around at everything, you tell us it was just the coolest thing, and so cool to see something like that through somebody who had no idea it was coming and was just so... He's still been talking about it when we've been off the trip. I think that was probably the biggest, like, magic moment was Galaxy's Edge in general. And I love Galaxy's Edge. I could spend hours sitting in Galaxy's Edge with... If they could have, like, some outdoor tables, I'll be honest, I would be in love with just sitting over there. But there's a spot where we let Grayson run around over there, which is ends up working out pretty well. And characters walk by there too, so he gets to say hi to R2-D2 and Chewbacca. I did the ride of Tower of Terror. I hate drop rides. I have a respect for Tower of Terror. I'll just say that it is still a drop ride. It's still great. It's still awesome. Oh, I hate riding that ride. But and I'm trying to think of anything else. Really, the big thing was hitting up Galaxy's Edge and doing that. One thing I'll talk about, just because it is Galaxy's Edge, or it was from Galaxy's Edge, and it's something my wife and I are trying to do this year. Something that we've seen a lot of people do in the past is they try to take Disney gift cards and use those to like save. You can use Disney gift cards on your hotel and all that kind of stuff. And so one of my quote-unquote souvenirs this year was there's a special gift card in Galaxy's Edge. It's a like kind of ruby-looking metal gift card that's a credit chip. It's got like the spires of the Black Spire Outpost and everything like that on there of Batuu. And you can actually put, it has a higher limit than the other credit cards. The others have like a limit of 1,000, and this has a $5,000 limit. And so if you're looking for a gift card that's kind of unique and lets you kind of slowly load it up, that's the cool thing about Disney gift cards, is you can keep them and transfer money into them from digital cards as much as you want. And they never discontinue. You never have to throw them away if you don't want to. So you can theoretically just kind of throw a little money into them as the year goes on. Anytime you find a little extra cash or a little extra at the end of your monthly budget or anything like that, kind of slowly save for your trips. And so that's kind of what we're going to try that out this year. I'll maybe bring it up again if it goes successfully. But the gift card itself is just really cool. It's a really cool card to have. So yeah, I don't think I have anything else for Galaxy's Edge or Hollywood Studios, and that kind of wraps up the trip. I think I'll end it with one other story. It's the story I forgot to tell in Magic Kingdom. So we had it was all of our days at the parks were really hot. And so there was we all had Lightning Lanes to missions or spaceship. Wow. Space Mountain. We all had Lightning Lanes to Space Mountain, including my dad. My dad refuses to ride Space Mountain ever since he saw it in the light too many times. And we've gotten stuck on Space Mountain a few times where the lights got turned on and freaked him out a little bit. So he doesn't ride Space Mountain anymore. So he was going to take Grayson so we could all ride Space Mountain. Grayson was trying to go down for a nap. It was like 90 degrees and he would not let anybody other than myself hold him. And I was dying in the heat and just low blood sugar and all that kind of stuff. So what ended up happening was we dropped off the stroller. My brother, my wife, and my mom went on to Space Mountain. And my dad and I just kind of, while Grayson was getting down to sleep, I was just holding him. And we were walking through the gift shops to just get AC and cool both him and I down. Until eventually we got to Cosmic Rays, found a good spot to sit, and my dad got me a soda so I could kind of get my blood sugar back up and start feeling human again. And this was our first day in Magic as well, and so kind of beginning of the trip, still getting off the, not off the plane, but still kind of adjusting into vacation mode. And so we're in Cosmic Rays, just my dad and I get a text from my wife. Well, first I get a notification from Disney saying that my dad and I's Lightning Lanes have been refunded to experience passes, which meant that the ride got shut down. And within a minute or two after that, I get a text from my wife saying, ride just stopped. They were, I think, barely out of the gate. And they were doing their rounds because they were evacuating people off the ride. They couldn't finish the ride through. And so we ended up getting the full story afterwards. They were in there for about an hour and a half, almost 2 hours. And what ended up happening, so they're getting onto the ride and they're starting to see like a cart goes, stops, but the gates don't open, and then the ride vehicle just rides forward with no people in it. And the person operating the machine, they said that they could see there was like a light blinking on it, and then it stopped. And the person loading them up was talking about how she was certain something was going to happen. Like she's worked that ride enough, the mountain was going to do something weird. And so lo and behold, everything's still looking okay. They load them onto the ride. They go, and then the whole thing shuts down. Just full shutdown. And because of the distance they got into the coaster, my mom was actually too far away from the off-ramp platform that they had to get evacuated by firemen. The fire department had to come in and help them off of the ride because legally they were past the safe limit that they could do it themselves, and the cast members aren't allowed to do that. And so they had somebody from higher up come by with a tablet and give them some fast passes, and then told them to go to guest experiences to get compensated a little bit more. And they were waiting on their ride, thankfully not in a weird position. They were I don't think they were even slanted. I could be wrong on that, but they had to get lifted out of the cart by the firemen. They had to get taken out by the fire department. And so out of that, we ended up actually getting for the next day, they gave us like 2 Epcot Lightning Lanes and a Lightning Lane to Guardians that we could use at any point throughout the day. So Disney did what Disney does and just absolutely knocked out of the park with helping out with like making the trip feel better and making up for stuff like that. But it was just extremely funny and ended up being a good thing that I got that Grayson didn't want to go to anybody else, because otherwise my dad, it would have been all four of us on there, and my dad would have been just kind of having to fend for himself. They would have been fine, obviously, but Grayson likes to get him to buy stuff for him, and so I don't know what my poor father would have done and what he would have walked out of that park with, probably like 8 million cars by the time Grayson was done with them after that 2 hours. But that ended up being a blessing in disguise, and then we got a bunch of fast passes for their service. And so, yeah, I think that's going to kind of wrap up the trip recap. It was an incredible trip. I am still wishing we were there. I want to go back so bad. We've already started planning next year's trip. We've taken a lot of trips as a family, and this was the best trip we have ever taken. And my dad and I have talked about it. Everything that could go well went well, and I think a lot of that was because everybody just wanted to enjoy the trip. There was not an agenda. It was just roll with the punches, and whatever happens, happens, and we're just going to have a great trip, and that's what happened. I mean, and Grayson got to try just about every kind of food under the sun, got to enjoy being a kid at Disney, eating a mini kitchen sink and all, any number. I have so many stories of him getting to play with characters and all that kind of thing, like the normal kid stuff. And Disney's had me. They didn't need to sell me yet. Whenever we go to the parks, it just makes me so happy that we decide to do these things. And despite how young he is and all of that, just the memories that we're creating with him are something that I'm going to treasure so dearly for the entirety of my life. And so, yeah, I'll wrap that up, and now I'm going to pander. that was our trip. Can't wait to hear Noah's next week. I'm going to do a quick explanation of what we dropped this week to kind of wrap up the episode, which is the Main Street Mekkies Patreon. So what Patreon is, for those who don't know, it is essentially a website that allows you to have members to see member-exclusive content. And what our Patreon exclusively is for $5 a month, you can be what we call an honorary Mekkie. And what you get at the honorary Mekkie tier is you get, every month, we will be releasing 3D printable files, or STL files is essentially what they are. That's the file type. So you can use them in computer modeling, or you can use them in 3D printing, whatever kind of your maker hobby is. And these models will be things like the Universal Hat Ears, or some of the signs that Noah has made, or any accessories or gadgets that we make for our trips in the park. But it will also be something that we're really excited about, which is replicas of things that we find in the U.S. parks. And so whether that's a sign, a little bauble, something in a ride queue, or in a shop in the World Showcase, or the only limitation essentially is it's nothing that is purchasable. We will not be recreating merchandise. We will be recreating decor, essentially what we do. And so one of those things will be coming out every month to those who are a Patreon subscriber. And the great part about that is if, let's say, you join in September and you can't do it in October, you get to keep the September file forever. That's just part of it. And there will be no extra cost on getting those files. It's just that membership. And then along with the files, you also get a free bonus episode every month that will be either myself just alone, Noah just by himself, or the two of us if we're able to scrounge together time to record a bonus episode. And so that'll be it for now. We're very much open to suggestions. We'll also do community posts on that page and questionnaires and kind of expand it as we see fit or as we see requested. But for now, that's one of the ways you can support the show. The money that goes into that will go into the show itself, kind of making it better. And whether it's new equipment or any number of things, giveaways, stuff like that, that we can do. And so if you're interested in that and you want to become a patron, if you want to become an honorary Mechie, you can find that Main Street Mechies at patreon.com. So if you go to patreon.com, you search Main Street Mechies, you should be able to find the podcast. It's got our logo on it, got a welcome message, and the first post with the files for the Universal Hat are already on there, and a build document, like a build guide, will be coming out for that soon. So yeah, I think that's just about it. I somehow talked for an hour, which I'm surprised at myself. And hopefully next week we'll be able to get Noah in for his trip recap. He's there right now as we speak, and just, I can already tell, having the best time. He showed on his Dear Imagineer page the view from his hotel room. It's absolutely gorgeous. So I can't wait to hear how his trip went. I hope you all have a wonderful weekend, a magical rest of your week, and we will talk to you all soon. Thank you, everybody.